Welcome back to the Unhinged History Podcast. Tis I, your unhinged host, Tani Caesar. It has been a minute. For you, it's been a minute. Why? Because I needed a minute, okay? Today we're back with another episode. In case you live under a rock or are a defiant elder millennial that refuses to download TikTok because you don't want to subscribe to what the cool kids are doing, you'll know that everyone's been asking the question, how often do you think about the Roman Empire? And when I first heard that trend, I was like, every day. To which I quickly learned was weird. And the whole trend is about how, like, men typically will think about the Roman Empire, you know, once a week or something like that. No, not me. So in this episode, I would like to talk about three of the most unhinged Roman emperors from the Roman Empire, so then maybe you can think about them a little bit more. I don't know. I mean, that's completely up to you. So with that, let us begin. It has been a minute. To unhinge history. To rogue. Whilst I have been on my short sabbatical, you guys have blown up the podcast. Thank you so much. Genuinely. We're almost at 20,000 subscribers across the platforms, being YouTube, Spotify, and I can't actually sign into Apple Podcasts. I forgot my password. That's why I say nearly, because anyway, the point is I can't thank you enough for subscribing. One day, someone might do this for me, and then I can just show up and talk. Because I'm good at that. I don't know if you've noticed. So thank you so much. Today's sponsor, as per usual, is Caesar Archibald. Today we are talking about some pretty unhinged dudes. So I'm wearing the long sword, but also the laurel leaf necklace. And some other things that if you spot, mind your business. New things are coming. So yeah, head over to that. If you want to, you know, this is like symbolizing victory. This is symbolizing, well, I mean, it's a sword, right? So any thanks for all your support. I'd like to read out two reviews. I love you. So the first is from VeganMama6750. She said, I can't even do my laundry. This is why you're my absolute favorite. Your voice is heavenly. This is my first podcast episode, but excuse me while I go watch them all. You're excused, my dear sweet summer child. Thank you so much. It is hilarious to me that you find my voice soothing because Australians are quite self-critical of their own accents. However, I will take the compliment. I'm learning to do that more and I really appreciate it. Thank you. And the second is from Cat Lily6HH. I don't know how to say that. This was the best history lesson ever. I love you guys so much. I've forgotten half of everything I've learned in history classes, but this, I will never forget this petty piece of history. Same goes for all your videos, Tani. I always learn so much and it sticks with me because you're super motherfucking interesting. Thank you and please never stop being you. Thank you for that, especially the last bit. You know, I feel good about myself. These comments mean everything. They really do. The subscribes, the likes, the shares, the feedback. It's amazing. So thank you so much. Yeah. All right. So obviously when I saw this trend going around on TikTok about like how Montage came in the Roman Empire, blah, 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 I was like, well, statistically speaking, what are we looking at here? Turns out most people typically don't think about Rome, nor the Roman Empire. And like, there's been a lot of like discourse on like way cooler podcasts than mine about how people just think that it's like, I just love my boyfriend to look super cool and quirky and probably not that off. I don't know. It's just the statistics that I found, okay? However, I have a few points here as to why I personally think that thinking about any ancient empire is important, but I guess today's topic is Rome. So we'll talk about Rome. The Rome's influence on our modern Western culture is so direct. It is literally very much, it's basically the start of, well, it is, you know what I mean? So if we learn about things that happened in Rome and we're like, oh my gosh, why do people do this today? And then it's like, oh, we did the same damn thing 2,000 years ago in ancient Rome. Funny that. Funny how we learn from history. So that's the first thing. Concepts of government, law, architecture, infrastructure, contemporary society stuff that we still do. Romans did it, which, I mean, they were kind of like copy-paste from the Greeks, but we're not going to go there right now. Again, history repeats itself. It is an ever-repeating copy-paste, copy-paste, copy-paste. I swear on my life. And whilst you listen to these stories today, please, just think about political figures, celebrities, anyone in our modern day, and make a comparison, a hot take, please. Create a hot take and put your hot take into the comment section, because I will be thoroughly entertained at 2 a.m. in the morning when I can't sleep, insomnia, by your comparisons and your hot takes. Thank you. Please and thank you. Influence on pop culture. You've ever seen Gladiator? Are you not entertained, you know? And I would argue that the Gladiator thing's probably what most of the TikTok boyfriends think about, I would assume. Not sure. Just that. You know, modern politics, the comparison, the parallels are just uncanny. We're making the same mistakes. By the way, we're in Shell. You know how they say, like, Rome wasn't built in a day. Yeah, well, it wasn't destroyed in a day either. So, you know, that was like the art and the literature and the discoveries. And then there was the romanticized luxury, like the Epicureanism, while some people were being stoic, you know, like Marcus Aurelius, then there was those of the emperors and others that would be the opposite of stoic, resilient, having courage, temperance, virtue. They were literally doing the opposite of that. And those are the people we're going to talk about today, because this is, in fact, unhinged history. So we're going to tell unhinged stories. And so I have chosen three of my favorite due to their sheer, I don't even have the word, my vocab is limited to even pontificate the extremities of what these emperors did. Three of them, emperors of an entire humongous motherfucking empire. So we're going to touch on that. Namely, we're going to be speaking about Caligula, Emperor Caligula. We're going to be speaking about Emperor Nero. And finally, we're going to be speaking about Commodus, which I forgot to put notes on. Anyway, we'll get there. Maybe I'll just do it off the top of my head. I don't know. Strap in. It will be a wild little ride. But first up, let us speak of Caligula. I've tried to consolidate his existence into 10 major points of insanity. Which is a little bit maybe derogatory to the insane. So 10 points we shall discuss. Point number one, Caligula declared himself as a god. Literally, he believed himself to be a god, which, I mean, there are themes of this in a lot of different empires. But Caligula, whose actual name was Gaius Julius Caesar Augustus Germanicus, but everyone just called him Caligula, which means little boot, which is hilarious. Anyway, he took power in 37, just 37 CE, if you will, or AD, whatnot. And he believed that he was divine, shocking, and demanded that the people treat him as such, as a god, because he was a god in his mind. And he would often appear in public dressed as particular Roman gods, because keep in mind, there was still the pantheon of gods and goddesses at this time in history. And when he would dress up as gods, it would incur quite a stir amongst the general public. Because, like, imagine if someone would just, like, I don't know, dressed up as some deity that maybe you worship and just, like, paraded down the street. you'd be probably offended or something, especially when he looked like a little boot and, I don't know, was dressing up as some grand god. Probably would have been like a bad Halloween costume. Moving forward to point two, he was so obsessed with his horse, you know, like his actual horse. It basically, he had a favorite horse and he pampered the horse like royalty. And he provided this horse with marble stables, lived a literal better life than me, than probably a lot of us in this economic crisis. And he also had an ivory manger made from like actual ivory. Anyway, it's said that he actually made his horse a consul, which was like one of Rome's highest political offices. And some say he made the horse a priest. Can't confirm, but like also wouldn't be surprised if true. Number three, he loved cross-dressing. Go off, you know. He loved to dress up in women's clothing, wearing wigs and makeup. But the thing is that like drag was not sort of acceptable in his position, nor among the Roman conservatives. Imagine Donald Trump dressing up in drag and then just walking the streets of like the most conservative place in America. That's like what I'm imagining. People would probably be like, this ain't it. You know what I'm saying? That's my really poor attempt at attempting to relate something to American politics. Now, as his life went on, things got more and more weird. And so just like keep that in mind as I speed through the next little couple of points. Because, you know, up to now, it's kind of like, okay, like, you know, Leo was a god, dressed up, really liked his horse. Yeah, then it gets sort of X Games mode. So Caligula decided to build two boats, barges, because they weren't actually intended to act as boats. They were just like floating barge thingy-bobs. Nemi ships is the term for it. It kind of reminds me of like, you know, those spring break videos that you see and like there's all the like boats and they're all like just, anyway. Massive, massive expense, huge vessels. There was trees inside of them. Like whole ass trees were transplanted into these things. Marble floors, plumbing systems, the whole shebang. And they were used for very extravagant and very particular parties on Lake Nemi. And when I say particular parties, I mean flat out orgies. They were sex boats. Just Caligula's sex boats. Obviously, he had a thing about the ocean, whatever, because these things were on a lake and they didn't move. So he decided, and I'm assuming it's because he thought he was a god, that he would wage war against the god of the sea, Poseidon, right? Which is kind of hard because Poseidon was a mythological god without human form. So regardless of that, he used funds and military, I don't know, stuff, you know, like bows and arrows and spears and swords, that they ain't cheap. Take a long time. War is expensive. Nonetheless, he decided that he would declare war on Poseidon, and he had his army sort of like stand in front of the waves and like throw spears and arrows into the ocean for a long time. And then, you know, it was a wavy day, you know, like the waves were dumping, you know. So like when the sea naturally calmed down and the swell decreased, he declared that they'd won naturally. And so he made all the soldiers pick up seashells by the seashore. So he had these like Roman generals who were like used to conquering and taking over entire parts of the world, picking seashells up so that they could declare their win against mighty Poseidon. Number five, kind of looping back. So there was the sex barges, right? But they were just a refuge from the ordinary palace life of constant orgies. He was notorious for hosting I don't even really quite understand how he imagined this stuff up. Like, there wasn't any TV back then, right? Anyway, point is, he did these senators' wives forced to come to the events where they would be forced to participate in said probably not consensual situations, which is horrifying. Obviously, further damaging his reputation amongst the Senate. He also had a fascination with collecting strange items. Now, look, I collect strange items, but they're like books and things. Here are, like, I can explain them at least. But he would collect the beards of famous men. Just like, oh, you're trimming your beard? Like, I want one. I don't know. He just collected dudes' beards. Seashells, which is now weird. But, oh, yeah, and he would collect, like, he would just banish people. So he'd just be like, you were banished. Collect all this stuff and then auction it off. Odd, but anyway. Number nine, Caligula. Remember, he was a god. Loved a bit of gladiator action. Loved to act like he was, in fact, a gladiator himself. And this one time when, you know, if you've ever been to the Colosseum, this thing is huge. Massive, right? They could fit, like, full-grown wild beasts in this thing. So he's kind of bored. I don't know. Maybe his favorite player wasn't playing that day or whatever. Maybe he lost a bet. And he was just like, you know what? You lot there in the front row? Yeah, get in. And he just chucked a whole bunch of people into the Colosseum to be ripped to shreds. Because they were just normal, ordinary people with literally no skills in fighting as a gladiator. And everyone just had to watch that happen. Even though the Romans did, like, collectively go to the Colosseum to see, like, professionals fight and stuff, this was shocking to the public. Probably because, like, I don't know, could have been them. I wouldn't want to go. I would never go to the Colosseum again if I saw that. And finally, which is kind of, it's relevant, but he was the emperor of Rome, right? Yet had complete disregard for politics. So imagine, like, the president or, like, the prime minister of wherever you live gets voted in or elected or, you know, takes the throne or whatever, and they just don't do any politicking at all. Just go and have orgies, go and make their horse a priest and, like, throw people in, you know, to the middle of the Colosseum. That was Caligula. That was real. That happened. That I told you. Just real. His reign was a bloody roller coaster with a broken motor and definitely needed a few engineers to check out a couple of things. A lot of people died. A lot of people probably caught STDs. And I really do think for this part of the Roman Empire, the only person that kind of probably had a good time was the horse. That's my take on it. All right, next up, we've got Emperor Nero. Oh boy. So, it's 54 CE in Rome. He was originally named Nero Claudius Caesar Augustus Germanicus, but he was only 16 when he rose to the emperorship, if you will, because his mom manipulated and high-key murdered stepdaddy after stepdaddy adopted him officially so that Nero could be the next emperor. Anyway, she kind of was like, if you've seen Game of Thrones, like Cersei, you know, who, like, really, she just, like, wanted to be the queen, the empress. There's even coins with her face on it instead of Nero's. So he's too young. So anyway, that sets the stage for a
a rough reign.
Let's start at the end, or ish, shall we? The Great Fire of Rome, which you may or may not. Moving on now to Nero. who I particularly don't like. Not that any of these people seem overly likable whatsoever, but he, Nero, was the son of a lady named Agrippina. We've discussed her before, actually, on our the villainess episode. So basically, she got in with the Roman emperor, and she had a kid named Nero Claudius Caesar Augustus Germanicus. Made him adopt the son, I believe, and then the stepdaddy suspiciously died when Nero was 17. So she, and I'm thinking like Cersei from Game of Thrones, you know, she ruled in his place for the years in which he was too young. There was even coins made with her face on it. So that just sets the stage for just the most unhinged emperor brain ever. So let's begin with, I don't know, the fiery parts, which is literally the great fire of Rome that burnt the city, or a lot of it. It happened in 64 AD or CE. Now, there's a story that when everything was on fire, Nero played the fiddle, which is not historically correct because the fiddle was not invented at that point. But I do believe it's more a motif of him just being like, I don't give a it is what it is. Also, anyway, he may have played the lyre, which was around at the time. Don't know. Can't confirm. Whilst he just watched the city being engulfed in flames. And then some even suspected that he had a hand in actually starting the fire himself. You know, the Senate was like, Broski, we think that you were guilty of arson. And he was like, oh, I mean, I did say that I wanted those gross buildings to be like removed and no one would agree with me, and then suddenly they're going down so that I can build my grand structures. But like, that's super weird that you would suspect me of doing that. So he then just persecuted the Christians, who were a minority in the era, and he blamed them for the fire. He crucified a bunch of them and burnt a whole bunch of them alive for everybody to watch on and experience after their city had been burnt, that he then chose to burn them. I don't know. I can't really comment on that, but like, PTSD much. He had, like the other bro, he had a golden house, which was an extravagant palace, complex gardens, opulence, etc., etc. And he particularly liked covering significant portions of Rome in colossal statues of himself. Now, not to be judgy or anything, but like, he wasn't the most pleasant to look upon. Anywho, similarly to Caligula, who wanted to be a gladiator, Nero wanted to be a theater boy. Theater girly. He had a passion for the arts, apparently. Allegedly, he was a talented actor. There was also the emperor who could probably have you murdered. So who's to really know if he was? I don't know. I'm just saying. And he would just do these bizarre public performances. Break the fourth wall, I guess. And did like chariot races and sang in public and dressed up as gladiators. And this sort of thing was just definitely not what emperors were supposed to nor allowed to do. Playing dress ups and just gallivanting around, it was not appropriate. Like, imagine if like the Queen of England, she's dead now, but if she just like, I don't know, dressed up as a gladiator and just started like riding a horse around town, same sort of thing. Joe Biden, maybe. Actually, to be honest, that would probably make more sense. I wouldn't really be that shocked at that. Moving on. He murdered his mom. Yeah. But multiple times tried multiple times to murder his mom and failed multiple times. And it's just like the incidences in which he, like, strategized and had intent to murder his own mother. Like, why were they not executed better? That's it's one thing that he wanted to kill his own. But the other thing is how was this so poorly done? In one of them, he put her in a boat with holes in the bottom to drown her, but she just swam back. Anyway, so he declined naturally, as they tend to do as time goes on, mentally, physically, politically decline. And he faced conspiracies, his erratic behavior went through the roof. His excessive spending, he was a material whore. I won't do that again. And his cruelty to others was very bad. And so anyway, in 68, keep in mind, what did I say? In 54, he became 16. So we're only in 68. Girl math. I can't do the math. I'm not a math girl. He faced a revolt. What a shocker. What a shocker that an emperor would face a revolt for being absolutely batshit insane against the people and so the Senate. Like, what? Anyway. Lost any of the support that he had. Not sure there was much at this point. So he chose to commit suicide, which marks the end of the Julio-Claudian dynasty, which we didn't really go over, so that's like kind of irrelevant, but there you go. Now, there is a lot of controversy. I want to add this in. A lot of controversy around Nero's reign, because as much as he was batshit insane in a lot of ways, he is a complex character, because some view him as a mad tyrant, and then others see him as a victim of political intrigue, as if he's just like a chess piece. Which, I mean, I kind of think both are probably valid. Regardless, yeah, scandalous, extravagant, cruel, and weird looking. That was mean. He was a tyrant. Come on. And last, in which I would say, and worst, and a big trigger warning, because I will be discussing explicit forms of abuse at the hands of this emperor, is Commodus, the son of Marcus Aurelius, which is debatable amongst scholars. Anyway, there's a lot of things, right, that are going to cross over with this guy and the last two guys. But personally, I think he's the worst. I mean, they're all the worst. I don't know. Anyway, that really doesn't matter. It's not a leaderboard, is that? Again, absolutely fascinated with the gladiators. This kid started to show tendencies of very cruel and sick weirdness at the age of 12, when a servant didn't warm up his bath hot enough, so he ordered him to burn it in the furnace. Because he wasn't in charge at the time, it didn't actually happen, so they burnt a lamb instead. But still, you know, at the age of 12 is probably not a good sign. And Commodius's reign really marked the period of decline, officially, for the Roman Empire. So, lol, because he identified as Hercules, the son of Zeus. Now, keep in mind, this is the Roman Empire, right? So he believed he was Hercules. And so he had all these statues put up of himself as Hercules, so that people would remember him as Hercules when he died. But instead, they remembered him as the crazy, insane sicko that made Rome decline. So don't be a crazy, weird sicko. His personality was said to be eccentric. I mean, you know, he thought he was Hercules to start with. Now, what I didn't explain, and if you're not aware, in this structure of ancient Rome's period, there was the emperor, but there was the Senate underneath the emperor that did Senate things. And he persecuted the senators, which wasn't allowed or good. And really not smart, because Rome was right off the back of the Roman elite, whom were senators. And, you know, that one time that Julius Caesar got stabbed by the Senate, you know what I'm saying? Well, I know there aren't people to mess with, but nonetheless, he decided to mess with them and persecuted them. Now, this is gross. but here it is. Commodius was a sex addict to the most extreme fashion. So there is a Latin passage that explains this complex thing that he had, but it roughly translates to this. Commodius spent his days gathering, through acquisition or force, an army of sex slaves composed of 300 women and 300 boys. That is why I gave a trigger warning. In fact, massive prolonged orgies were only the beginning of his sexual depravity. So, yeah, that's 600 people. Sorry, 600 women and 600 minors. I mean, 300 minors. Kept getting worse. More and more depraved, as you would expect, because the theme is theming right now. He ordered his own sister to death, Lucilia. And if this sounds familiar to you, yes, this is the guy in the Gladiator movie that's depicted. Although he's depicted as sort of sane, I guess, a little. In the Gladiator movie, the movie gives no justice to how unhinged she truly was in real life at all. So if you've seen the movie. Anyway, once he found out that his sister tried to poison him to death, he ordered her to death. And then he proceeded, again, true warning, to rape the rest of his remaining sisters and one of the concubines after his mother. Yeah. This is the excerpt from Historia Augusta. After debauching his other sisters, as it is said, he formed a sexual relationship with a cousin of his father and even gave the name of his mother to one of his concubines. His wife, whom he caught in adultery, he drove from his house and banished her and later put her to death. By his orders, his concubines were debauched before his own eyes. Basically, he thought he was Hercules. So he would go and play fight in the Colosseum in front of all the crowds with these animals. And the favorable records of him obviously paint him as being a fearless animal murderer. However, other records, basically, he would get disabled animals. Animals that had issues like missing legs or they were drugged. And he would fearlessly destroy them. What a halftime show. Far out. And the worst of it was when he took handicapped human beings and conquered them in the Colosseum. Anyway, obviously, people had eyeballs. And instead of cheering for him, they were like, yeah, nah, this ain't it, hey. And so the Roman society, whom were mostly slaves at that point, basically hated him in general. No one liked him, even the Senate. And his mania just got worse and worse and worse until he eventually was put down. That's all I'm going to say on him, because it's... the details are graphic. But those are just three of the unhinged emperors, might I add. We didn't even move into literally anyone else in the society of ancient Rome. What can we learn from this? Well, we can draw parallels. Again, please put your hot takes below of comparisons. What lessons can we learn today from these mistakes of the past? Maybe not putting people that have tyrannical tendencies or bad disorders in power. So next time you think about ancient Rome, sorry about that. Guess I ruined that for you too. It's a bit of a theme for this, isn't it? It's podcast. I hope you enjoyed. No, I hope you learned something. Please like and subscribe and leave a comment. Like the bell thing. Do the things. I would love that. That would be amazing. I'll be your best friend. I'm also on Instagram and TikTok. And Twitter or whatever the hell it's called, and all the other places. The links are in my bio. And yeah, thanks for watching. I'll see you next time. Bye.